Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to the book of Acts. Now, I have to admit that today is a very exciting day for me. Now, as we talked about earlier, this is the week of our fourth anniversary here of our church. We actually had our first church service here on January 15th, 2012. Okay, so the beginning, the start of 2012. Now the thing is in 2011, leading up to our launch, the president of our Four Square denomination, Pastor Glenn Burris, he challenged pastors to read through the book of Acts each month throughout 2011. And so every month, he wanted us to read through the book of Acts. There's 28 chapters in Acts, and he figured if you just take one a day, even on February, you'd get all the way through it, right? As long as it wasn't leap year, and I don't think it was leap year that year, okay? But, I guess you would get through it. That gives you an extra day. So, again, my brain, all right? But, and so in 2011, leading up to our launch, I read through the book of Acts more than any other book in the Bible. And the thing is, it's hard to read through Acts and not get a little bit excited because it's an amazing book. It's such a powerful book that gives us this glimpse of the early church, right? And the movement of the Holy Spirit through God's people, through the disciples. And so here's the thing. From day one of our church plant, I wanted to do a series on the book of Acts. I was like, yeah. I mean, when we started, we were in Ephesians already and walking through that. And I thought, well, that's done, man. I'm going to start the book of Acts. And so from day one, that's why I just thought, okay, as soon as we're going to start the book of Acts. But what's interesting is each time I thought that this might be the next thing we did, the Lord would say to me, nope, not yet. Not yet. And again, no, not yet. But about 2 months ago, I was actually up late one night. I was having some trouble sleeping, kind of wrestling with some things. So much so that I finally kind of just got up out of bed and I just started to pray and I just started to read my Bible. And it was that night that the Lord said to me, he said, okay, Darren, it's time. In January, you can start your series through the book of Acts. And so the reality is I'm excited this morning. I have no idea what God is going to do in our lives through this series. And I have no idea actually how long this series will go, okay? As I started to process even this week, I'm like, man, I could speak like 3 weeks, just on 3 or 4 weeks, just on like the first 12 verses, you know? And I'm like, man, God, you really got to lead me here. How long are we going to be in this? And so I have no idea how long we're going to be in this series, but I've been praying and believing that there is a reason that we were to wait until now for such a time as this. And so today we're kicking off this new series. And I'm excited. And I'm also excited, you know, about the title of this series, okay? Okay, are you ready for the title of this series? Wait for it. If you read your bulletins, then you know, okay? The title of the series is The Force Awakens. A series through the book of Acts. Now, some of you are like, what are we waiting for? What's so good? Why do people laugh at that, okay? If you're not a Star Wars fan, then you wouldn't understand this. But if you are a Star Wars fan, you know that this is the name of the latest Star Wars movie that just came out in December, okay? And so even though it's kind of a funny play on words, just the timing was right, I was like, honey, oh my gosh. Because I was trying to think, what would be the name of this series, right? And I'm like, oh my goodness, honey, I got a great name for the title, for the series, right? And she was like, oh, I love it. That's awesome. And so even though it's just kind of a play on words, I really believe that it's a perfect name. It's a perfect title for this series. Because the book of Acts is where we see the power of the Holy Spirit, right? This amazing force of God poured out onto the followers of Jesus. The force awakens here in the book of Acts. And so I'm excited, right? It was in the book of Acts that we saw this force awakened in the heart of the disciples, and this movement began to happen. And I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited about the new year. I'm excited that it's our fourth year anniversary, right? Because honestly, I didn't know if I'd get past the first year, okay? And I'm excited to dive in to the book of Acts and what God wants to speak to us as a church for such a time as this. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Acts verses 1 through 11. Acts 1 verses 1 through 11 this morning. This is what it says. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began," and it's not the book Theophilus, he's speaking to Theophilus here. "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And in Matthew, he says, "baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Verse 6, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Now, before we get started here, let me just give you a little background into the book of Acts here. The book of Acts actually picks up where the book of Luke left off. It's believed that Luke wrote the book of Acts, at least the first part of Acts. There's some question in there about how it changes from first person to third person kind of stuff. But we know that at least the beginning of Acts was written by Luke. And so it's kind of a continuation of the book of Luke. And it gives us kind of a glimpse of Jesus' final days on earth here with his disciples. Now, this was obviously, it was after the resurrection. It talked about the suffering that Jesus had gone through. It was after the resurrection. And Luke tells us here that Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days before he then ascended back into heaven to be with the Father. Now, what Jesus said and did with the disciples during those 40 days, we don't really know. I mean, we get some little glimpses here and there throughout the Gospels. But we do know here that just before he ascends, he gives them some instructions, right? In verse 4, he says, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." The instruction that's given to them is they're told to go to Jerusalem and to wait. Okay? And so the question that I have for us this morning is this. It's why wait? Why was it important for them to wait? What was it that they were waiting for? And so I want to talk through that a little bit this morning. And that whole question, why wait? And I want to give you a few reasons that I feel it was important for them to wait. The first is this. Why wait? Number one, because Jesus said to. Okay? It's as simple as that. Because Jesus said to. You see, I'm learning that the greatest attribute of a disciple is what? It's obedience. It's one of the greatest attributes of a disciple. Listen to what it says in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Okay, make disciples. Go. That's what we're called to do. But verse 20 here, this is the important part. It says, "And teaching them to obey." To obey everything I have commanded you. That's the important part. That's what we're called to do as disciples. We're called to walk in obedience. Okay? To be obedient to the Lord. Why wait? Because Jesus said so. And obeying Jesus is what we're called to do. Now in verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And I share that scripture with you because of this. I want you to hear what I'm about to say, because this is a very important word for you right now. And it's this: obedience opens the door to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me say that again. Obedience opens the door to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. They were obedient. And as we're going to find in Acts 2, the Spirit of the Lord fell upon them because of their obedience. What if the disciples, what if they didn't do what Jesus said for them to do? I think they would have missed it, right? They would have never received the power, at least at this time, okay? Because we miss things and it causes pain and struggles for us, but God is a faithful God that restores and can bring things back. So at this moment, they would have missed it, right? And here's the question: what is it that we've missed because we've failed to wait on the Lord? We've failed to be obedient and do what Jesus said to do. You know, some of you, I've kind of hinted and shared about this over the last couple of weeks as we came to an end of 2015 and beginning 2016. But I wanted to share a little in depth with you kind of what I walked through as the pastor of this church and what we walked through with the council as 2015 was coming to a close. We, in the beginning of December, we had set our budget for 2016. We had prayed about it. We'd set our budget. But it was interesting because in that time, the Lord was challenging me a little bit. And I think what happened was we kind of started and we just started kind of dreaming a little bit. At least I did, and talking to different people in the different ministries. What do you need? And what can we do? As God's blessed us, I was just trying to figure this thing out. And so as we did that, I realized we kind of added a lot to our budget. And I thought, okay, well, that's good. We're still at a good place of what we made on a monthly basis to kind of cover that. And so at that point, I kind of thought, well, maybe that's enough, right? But I realized the Lord was challenging me a little bit beyond that, saying, are you playing it safe? That was the word I kept hearing. Are you playing it safe? And so at first I thought, well, okay, we added a lot to the budget and maybe we'll wait. We'll wait a couple months and we'll see how things go. And then maybe we can add to that. Because one of the things the Lord was put on my heart is giving away more money. We do that already as a church. If you're here in the next couple weeks, we're gonna share our financial situation with the church as we do every year. But we give away a lot of money every year to our community to bless people in all different ways. And I felt like the Lord was saying, "That's great, Darren, but I want you to give more." But I just thought, well, maybe it will wait. We'll see, because we already added to the budget. And it was really interesting because all this is going on, and now we're at the end of December, and I realized that for that month, we were falling pretty short of our monthly budget. But that happens. November, December is always kind of low. That's just what happens. If you take our whole year, we were going to be on target to meet our budget. But I knew we were kind of low, and so I thought, well, maybe we need to wait and see how we are before we add anything more, right? Those are the thoughts going through my head. And let me just say this, is that's not the way God works, too, sometimes. We love to give out of our excess, but sometimes God says, no, I want you to give out of your poverty. And we're challenged in those ways. But I was kind of thinking that way. Interesting thing happened. The Sunday after Christmas, Joshua did services here, and so I was down in Eugene with my family, and I decided to go to the church that I actually grew up in from first through fifth grade. It was the church when we moved here we were a part of, and then in fifth grade we left to go plant a church out of that. My family was a part of a church plant out of that church, and I hadn't been there in years, and I thought, I'm going to go to that church. And so I went to that church. It was fun and connecting with some different people that I know there. But at the very end of the service, they said, we're going to take a second offering, as we always do. It's the end of the month, and we do a second offering to give to missions. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And the interesting thing, at that point, there was, in my wallet, there was $20 that I had gotten, okay? And I don't have cash of my own in my wallet a whole lot, you know, that I can just spend on whatever I want. That's kind of been free money given to me, right? You know? And so I have this $20 in my wallet, and I'm sitting there, and he announces this, and I just kind of hear the Lord say, you got $20 in your wallet, Darren? And I was like, I do, and that's for me, and I want to use it for me. I want to be able to go to Dutch Brothers. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. So all these thoughts go in my head. I'm justifying why I don't need to give that money. And I literally, I had a point where I was just like, no, Darren, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to that voice in your head. And I don't know why I was so strong about not wanting to. And the Lord just said, really, that's how you're going to be. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And then I'm just like, okay, here, how am I as a pastor supposed to challenge people to be faithful, just to listen and be obedient to the Lord if right now I'm fighting this myself? And so I just said, okay, Lord, and I asked for forgiveness, because I also didn't want to be like, fine, here, because then that's not obedient either. You know, I wanted to be a cheerful Lord. I said, you know what, Lord, here you go. I'm sorry, right? And it was really interesting, because then as I was here and we counted the final offering that we get on a Sunday for the month of December, I realized we were way below our normal budget. And so I just thought, man, and I just kept hearing the Lord say, are you playing it safe? And I was thinking, Lord, I don't know where we're going to be. We'll see, but with this, we're low. And as we head into next month, you know, how do I know? You know, but the Lord just said, are you playing it safe? And he reminded me of my wallet and the whole $20 thing. And it was interesting, because one of the things at that moment when I was there, I was like, what happens if I don't give this $20? And I don't know. I don't know. But I almost felt like this thing of, okay, if you're not going to trust me with money, then I'm not going to trust you with money. And it was one of those challenges where that's what kind of drove me of, I'm sorry, Lord, it's yours. I've always said it's yours to begin with, and here I'm holding on. And so the Lord began to speak that through me about our church finances. And so here on like the 29th or 30th of December, I shoot out an email to the council, and I'm like, hey, council, I know we finalized the budget for 2016, but God's been asking me this question, if we've been playing it safe. And I kind of shared the story a little bit, and I just felt like we were supposed to give more. Now, what's interesting is out of that, we had someone that responded back, which I thought was negative at first, but it really wasn't. They were just like, I think maybe we need to even do more than that and take another step there. And so it was this thing that began to stir in us of not playing it safe. And it was this amazing thing as we walked in obedience and said, okay. And so we decided we were going to meet as a council and vote to change and add about another $1,000 to our budget, which, you know, for a small church, that's a lot of money. We already added about $1,500 and add another $1,000 to our budget. And it was interesting. Is the day after we made that decision to move forward, we had over $11,000 come in at the end of December for people that wanted to get money in before the end of the year, and it put us above and beyond our budget. And there was something about that. I really believe that if I had not been obedient in that process, and then if the council, if we hadn't been obedient to say, all right, yes, let's move forward, I don't know if that money would have come in. God knew, and he wanted to show us that there's something powerful that happens when we walk in obedience. When Jesus talks, we need to listen, right? We need to listen. We need to hear. And here's the thing. It's one thing to listen. It's another thing to what? Obey. We have to listen and obey. Why wait? Because Jesus said so, right? And we have to be willing to wait. We have to be willing to do what God tells us to do. We also have to be willing to go, because sometimes it's the opposite. He says go, and we go, oh no, we'll just wait a little longer, right? And so the key there is obedience. We have to do what God tells us to do. Now, another thing I think, and another reason I think it was important for them to wait is this. is because it equipped them for what God was calling them to do. It equipped them for what God was calling them to do. If they hadn't waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they would have never been ready to carry out that mission to go. Okay? And I think of this with Peter. Because Peter, remember what happened when Jesus was crucified? He ran like a little baby, right? Oh, I'll fight for you, God. I will be faithful. And then it came, and what did he do? He went and he denied Jesus, right? But then we'll see in a couple weeks here, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, what does he do? He stands up with boldness and with power and with authority. If they hadn't waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they would have never been ready to carry out the mission to go. Now, I think most of you know here that I was a Marine. And even though I was fortunate to never have to go into battle, to never have to go into war, the thing is we constantly trained in case that time ever came, right? We trained to prepare ourselves for war. That's part of what the military does. We train to prepare ourselves for war. And in my year over in Okinawa when I was with 3rd Recon Battalion, we went on numerous mock missions, right? We had this recon team, and we would go out on these missions. Now, they were fake and not real, but we would go and train as if they were. And so we'd go on these missions. And here's the thing. We would never go on a mission without being fully equipped with what we needed for that mission. When we went out on these missions, we went out prepared for the task at hand, prepared for the mission and what we were going to be doing. And I guess the question we all have to ask ourselves is how often do we go out unprepared? How often do we go out before the Lord unprepared? You see, we don't like to wait. We're impatient people, right? I mean, most of us, I think, people, human nature. We're impatient people. And oftentimes because of that, what happens is we get out ahead of God. And when we do that, we're unequipped and we're unprepared for the task at hand. You see, God doesn't ask us to wait at times because He likes to torture us. Oh yeah, I love to make them be patient. I love to, you know, I mean, that's not what God does. He doesn't make us wait to torture us. He asks us to wait because He wants to equip us with all the tools we need to accomplish the things that He's calling us to do. And you know, sometimes that takes time to equip us and to fill us with the things that He has for us before we can go out. You see, Jesus knew that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit if they were going to accomplish His will to take the gospel throughout the world. The reality is for us is God knows what we need. He knows when it's time to wait. He also knows when it's time to go, right? He knows when we need to be equipped, and He knows when we're fully equipped and ready. The disciples, they waited. Why? Because Jesus said to. They waited also because it equipped them for what God had called them to do. And the final reason to this question, why wait, is this, is because what God had for them was better than anything they could have come up with on their own. Because what God had for them was better than anything they could have come up with on their own. You see, a lot of times we think that we know what's best, right? But the reality is, we don't. When you think about our human nature, the fact is we're always looking for the shortcuts, right? We always want to do things, you know, to get to where we want to get, to think that we know what's right for us and how to get there immediately and to take those shortcuts. But the problem is those shortcuts often just cause more problems and difficulties in our life. We've seen it time and time throughout the Scriptures. People trying to take shortcuts. People trying to do it their way and coming up short. And because of that, experiencing difficulties and pains in their life. Take Abraham and Sarah, for example. Okay? You see, God had told Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And he's sitting there going, yay, that's great. But there's a problem. I don't have any kids, right? And how can this happen? Because me and my wife, we're old. We're beyond childbearing years. I believe, if I remember correctly, that Sarah was like 86 at this time when this word was given to her. Okay? It's like, we're old. We're beyond child. How is this going to happen? And so, what did they do? They decided to take things into their own hands. Sarah actually had Abraham go be with her maidservant. And let me tell you, that shortcut brought about all sorts of problems for Sarah, for Abraham, for the nation of Israel. It created problems. You can read about that situation in Genesis 16. It really brought nothing but troubles. If they had only waited. You see, years later, God began to fulfill His promise to Abraham in His way. Sarah became pregnant at the age of 99. Okay? And gave birth to Isaac. And it was through him that Abraham became the father of all nations. But here's the thing, they could have saved themselves a lot of pain and heartache if they would have just waited. If they wouldn't have taken things into their own hands. You see, how much heartache and pain have we experienced in our lives? Because we fail to wait. We fail to trust in the Lord's time, and we fail to trust in Him. We try to do things ourselves. We try to figure out, oh, this is what will be perfect for me. This is what will be perfect for me. We have to understand that taking shortcuts and doing things our own way will never accomplish the will of God in our lives. And did you hear that? Taking shortcuts, doing things our own way will never accomplish the will of God in our lives. Again, God doesn't ask us to wait because He likes to torture us. He asks us to wait at times because He knows what's best for us. He's wanting us to hold out for Him. To hold out for His will. And when we're obedient to Him and His call to wait, it's then that we experience those things that are better than we could have ever hoped or imagined on our own. This call for us to wait on the Lord, it's for our own good. Listen to what Isaiah 40:31 says. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. How many of you, that's what you want? That's what I want. And a lot of times we don't get that. Why? Because we try to do it on our own. But when we wait on the Lord, He renews our strength, and we do it through the power of Him. The disciples were able to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit because they waited. This idea of waiting, it's about obedience. It's about being equipped. It's about seeing God's good and perfect will accomplished in our lives. But I want to finish with this. This idea of waiting in the Scriptures doesn't mean we just sit around twiddling our thumbs. We're real good at that. Oh, I'm just waiting on God. Oh yeah, I'm just waiting for God to guide and direct my paths. I'm waiting on Him. Right? This idea of waiting, it doesn't mean twiddling your thumbs. It means to literally to expect with hope. This word waiting, it's expecting with hope. It's this active kind of waiting, where we're seeking the Lord with faith, with great anticipation, listening to Him. It's knowing that God is at work in us, and knowing that He will help us become who He's called us to be in His timing and in His way. The disciples were waiting on this gift that Jesus had promised they would receive. This gift of the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. That's not what we're waiting on. That's not what we're waiting on. We have the Holy Spirit. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, His Spirit comes and lives in us. So that's not what we're waiting for. As a matter of fact, it's the Holy Spirit that will help us discern, right? When we should be going, when we should be waiting, what we should be doing, so that we can faithfully carry out the mission that He has for each and every one of us. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can hear the Lord and know His plan for us. We're going to get into this. It's interesting over the next couple of weeks, but before chapter 2, next week as we finish up in chapter 1, you'll see the disciples, they do something called casting lots, right? Basically rolling the dice. And that's how they used to make decisions. It was like, okay, Lord, we give it to You, and they'd cast the dice, right? But guess what? A chapter later, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. We don't cast lots anymore. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to hear God directly and to listen to Him and allow Him to speak to us so that we can carry out the mission that He has for us. The disciples, they had no idea what was about to happen in their lives or in the life of the church at this moment. And here's the thing, either do we. As we continue to be faithful and listen to the Lord, we don't know. But if we walk in obedience, we can trust in the Lord and His will to be carried out in our lives. And I believe this, it will be greater than anything that we could have ever hoped or imagined. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we thank You so much for Your hand upon our lives. We thank You so much for, Lord, what You did for us, Lord. I know you talked in the Scriptures about the fact that You had to go. And the reason You had to go was so that You could send the Holy Spirit to come and to be with us, Lord. And so we thank You, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that lives in us as believers that have said yes to You, Lord. We can walk in and through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. And it's a matter of us just calling out upon Your Spirit and seeking You, Lord, allowing Your Spirit to be stirred in us that we may hear Your voice, that we may hear the things that You're calling us to do, to walk and to live the life that You've called us to live, Lord. And so we thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You poured it out upon our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that You help us to listen, Lord. Help us to take those times to allow Your Spirit to speak to us, Lord. To learn how to discern what is the Spirit and what is the world. That we may know Your voice. That we may hear the things that You've called us to do. That we may live the life that You've called us to live. That's what this is about, Lord. The power of the Spirit waiting for that was about walking in the ways of You, Lord Jesus, and You have done that already. And so, Lord, now we have to learn how to walk in the ways of You. There are times where You ask us to wait, Lord, to grow and to become who You've called us to be. There's times where You say, okay, You're ready. Now go and step out. I will give You what you need. Lord, help us to discern those things through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we just thank You for this word. May we be encouraged, Lord, first and foremost, to walk in obedience, Lord. Why wait? Because You say to wait. Why go? Because You say to go. Why do this? Because You tell us to do that. Whatever it may be, may we hear Your voice and be willing to do what You've called us to do because You said so. And it's about walking in obedience, Lord. But also, Lord, we want to be equipped. Also, Lord, we want Your will because we know Your will is better than our will, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things. We thank You for what You're doing in each of our lives. May You challenge us through this word today. Show us those areas, Lord, where we haven't been waiting, Lord. Show us those areas where we haven't been listening and walking in obedience and how to correct those situations, Lord. How to grow in You and become who You've called us to be, that we may be the lights to this world that extends Your kingdom in and through us, Lord. We thank You for these things. We thank You for Your word. Challenge us, encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're challenged. I hope you're excited as me. If you haven't read through the book of Acts, I encourage you, start reading through the book of Acts. Let God speak to you through this book. It is a powerful book of God working through His people. Because, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are the works of Jesus. The book of Acts is now the apostles beginning to learn how to live life as Jesus lived. Walk out the things of Jesus. And it's a great example for us of what God is calling us to do, to live out the life of Acts, to be who He's called us to be, to allow the power of His Spirit to encourage us, to show us, to help us discern the things that He's speaking into our lives. So be encouraged by it, be challenged by it, get excited about this. Amen?